You are listening to .W Talk Radio for the Underground Church in the West.
The emphasis is not on creativity, it's on faithfulness. Man, we put the non in nonprofit.
That's right.
What? People say, I can't memorize anything. You're either doing it on your own strength or you're doing it in ways that don't draw upon what the church has commended throughout history. You know, there's still you and me every week doing this podcast.
For more information on .W Evangelical Church, check out www.dotheword.org. But now, Pastor Tim Dilmuth poses your questions about .W Church and Whole Life Offering Discipleship Training Model, and Pastor Eric Foley answers them. This month, Pastor Foley is talking about ransoming the captive.
Good, we're back again for week two of Ransoming the Captive, and I can't even think of what day it would be now for our 100 days campaign of worship.
Is it week three?
Must be something like that. Yeah. And then it depends what time zone you're in and all this other kind of stuff. But Pastor Tim, I'm so excited by what we're seeing and hearing from people who are doing the 100 days campaign. Last week we talked about how the essence of that campaign is to really worship in public, but in the common places. You know, when I remember when I was working on the campaign with you early on, we wanted to make sure we kept away from people thinking that this was, you know, you can worship in a boat, you can worship on a moat, you can worship on a bike, you can worship on a dike. We didn't want any of that kind of thought that this was about trying to be creative or clever with worship. It's just really about being faithful, and that was one of the themes we talked about last week.
Yeah, you know, one of the testimonies we got from one of the folks who are doing this really struck me, because she said she took the booklets with her to her local crisis pregnancy center, and she shared communion with the director and with a few other folks in the center. And the thing that struck me about that was it for her, it just seemed to be a natural outgrowth of what she did anyway, and who she was.
Yeah.
She was taking it to the places where she would normally go and volunteer and serve and help. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah, when we talked, even at the beginning of Soul USA, you know, our podcast is a year old now. Happy anniversary. And Soul USA is 10 years old. When we started Soul USA, we talked to the North Korean underground Christians. We said, you know, how can we help you? And they thought that was an odd question, because they saw themselves in a position to help us. And what they meant by that is that they are in a place where the only hope that they have is God. There's nothing they could give their money to, because they don't have much money. There's nothing that they could use their political influence for, because they don't have political influence. And so those are the kind of typical tools that we work with in the West to bring about change. And so I'm excited, Pastor Tim, in this campaign, that the North Korean church is in the position of leadership that they, I believe, belong in, because they remind us that the essence of what it means to be a Christian is to be thrown full force upon the grace of God in daily acts of worship, to remind ourselves, remind the world, and remind God that we are completely reliant upon Him.
I wanted to go back a little bit and ask you a question that we sort of touched on last week. You were talking about your son in McDonald's, working with a Hispanic community, and how that was really removed a little bit from his Jerusalem and Judea.
Yeah.
And I think this applies to ransoming the captives. You tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Really, ransoming the captives is working with those in your Jerusalem and Judea. In other words, it's with those people that you've been doing the works of mercy with throughout the whole year. You've been sharing your bread with that person. You've been opening your home. And, you know, if it's too far removed, then you really don't have opportunity to ransom. You don't know them well enough. You're not invested in their lives. Does that make sense?
I think it makes very, very good sense. In fact, let me say this, and it'll sound controversial. You know, it's unusual, because I'm normally such a people pleaser with when we talk on this broadcast. That's a joke, of course. But the controversial thing I'm going to say is this. There's a movement afoot. You can even say in Christianity Today, big feature on this, and David Platt talks about it in his books, about people leaving their area and living a missional life where they're relocating to the city. That is wonderful. But the question, Pastor Tim, is what is the foundation of that move? And what I've seen all too often, and it's unfortunate, is that people make that relocation without it being an extension of their ministry in Jerusalem and Judea. And so, for example, Trevor reaching out to his fellow coworkers who are Hispanic and don't speak much English. That is awesome. But if what that allowed Trevor to do is to continue to have a community of English language friends that he basically didn't have a primarily discipleship relationship with, not so good. So same thing's true. If people pick up and move to the inner city and live a missional lifestyle, wonderful. That is awesome. Except insofar as it has removed from them the responsibility and need to share the gospel and live a missional lifestyle with the people around who they were called. And that's one of the principles that's steadfast in the scripture, whether it's the Gadarene demoniac trying to get in the boat with Jesus after he was healed. Jesus said, stay here and tell the people what you have received. Whether it is the statement from the Apostle Paul, stay in the same position from whence you were called. The principle is the same, which is, yes, it is a very good second step to connect with people in communities other than our own. But part of ransoming that's so hard is having it begin with our own immediate sphere of influence. We tend to want to avoid that sphere of influence like the plague because ultimately we don't want people to think that we're weird. We don't want people to think that we've changed. And so we end up moving to the inner city, but we've left untouched the relationships that we have with friends from school, people we know on Facebook, all those other kind of things. And we miss that Jerusalem, Judea experience.
That's sort of like the pastor too, isn't it? Who is so invested in his congregation, but ignores his own family.
Ignores his own family, right. 1 Timothy 3:1-5 says that man has missed the primary calling, which, you know, as Paul says pointedly in verse 5, who in the world would why would God give the keys to the church to that person who can't even find the keys to his own front door? And so the worship in the commonplaces, it goes back to where we started, which is not saying, hey, I worship today on a bike. I worship today, I did 100 days of worship jumping out of an airplane. Those things are comparatively easier to do than saying I did the 100 days worship in the break room at my office. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking the purpose of our life, right? Which is, and wherever we are in the sphere of influence God has given us, that's our primary calling. Everything else, Samaria and the ends of the earth, are always predicated on our faithfulness in Jerusalem, Judea. I've said this many times on our podcast, Pastor Tim, the number of people when I speak at Voice of the Martyrs conferences around the country in North Korea who come up to me and say, I am ready to smuggle Bibles into North Korea. And I say, great, tell me about the Bibles you've taken up and down your street. And they go, oh, okay, see, God hasn't called me to do that. Well, you know what? Then the call you got is a wrong number, because the only call that God gives is the call to start where we're at and expand outward from there. Then the church, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to discern that we're going to be raised up to be able to be sent to these other places to instruct them to reach their sphere of influence. And so don't be talking about smuggling Bibles to North Korea or relocating to the inner city if you haven't reached your own immediate neighborhood in which you were found by Christ. Yeah, I think that was grammatically correct. I was going to say found by Christ in, but I think that would have been wrong. So
we have a real problem with that, I think, in the concrete ways of obedience that whether it relates to ransoming the captives or making disciples, the Lord touches our hearts and we just want to love him more, which is great.
Yeah.
But how do we concretely do that and serve that in our own communities, where we are right now? It seems much more concrete to sell everything and move halfway across the world and hand out Bibles.
And that's where, you've heard that old saying, people will sometimes say jokingly, I love humanity, it's individual people I can't stand. Well, when the Bible tells us that for God so loved the world, he wasn't speaking about the world in the abstract. He was speaking about the Gadarene demoniac and the Samaritan woman who had 4 husbands, and the one she was living with wasn't her husband, and the woman with the issue of blood. So he loved the world in the form of each specific embodiment or image of himself in it. Each of us are created in the image of God, and we're most like God when we're involved in giving and bringing glory to him and pointing to him. And so the biggest test of the missionary is, can you do that with the people in your own life? This, again, Pastor Tim, this is a point that I've come back to a lot of Christian leaders. They feel like, hey, I'm going through a rough patch with my kid. I feel like, according to 1 Timothy 3:1-5, should I step down? I say, oh, by no means. you're always going to go through rough patches with your kids. The question is your primary relationship with your children a discipleship relationship? And that's really what we're called to in our sphere of influences, is that Trevor works at McDonald's, but even McDonald's, his primary relationships are discipleship relationships. He is under the authority of his boss, and yet his primary relationship with his boss is that of being an ambassador of Christ. It's not that we are in our own immediate sphere only the McDonald's worker or the next door neighbor, and that when we go on mission, we're a missionary. It's that we are an ambassador, we are a reflection of the image of God to our nieces, our nephews, our next door neighbors, our classmates, our coworkers.
I know you must have a lot of rough patches with your kids.
Well, especially our producer, Mr. Trevor, over there.
Right,
I just,
right.
You know, every day it's always something new.
But no, bringing this back to the 100 days then, I think a really simple way for me to understand it is that my first primary focus shouldn't be to gather large groups together.
Correct,
in the park,
Pastor Tim, that's
or to
right.
bring all the tables together at the restaurant. That, not that that's bad, but if
right.
I'm doing that at the expense of not doing it with my family,
right.
or with my coworkers, or with my neighbors that I'm close to, then I'm really missing the boat.
It sounds so strange, but you're right. The primary purpose of the 100 Days campaign, this is not an evangelism event. This is not done with a bullhorn. This is not done by saying, hey, everybody at Chick-fil-A, come and do this. It is simply practice in our sphere of influence and drawing the people in that sphere of influence, inviting them to participate in worship. So when you're in the break room at lunch, can you say that, hey, we're doing this thing, we're doing this simple worship service. Would you be interested in joining me in that? Absolutely, that's great. That's really great. But this is not a worship service that's outwardly directed. It's simply mirroring the image of Christ to the people who see us every day, causing them to see our identity in a new way, and that's then going to set up the kind of evangelistic encounters that are going to lead people to want to join us in this process.
Mm. Thanks for sharing. I'm excited to see where this is going to go. We're still only three weeks into this, so expect to see the Lord do a lot of really neat things in our lives and also through the example of the North Korean church.
Absolutely.
And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You've been listening to .W Talk Radio, where we reflect together on how to hear and how to do the Word of God. If you'd like to submit your question to DH and Pastor Foley, you can go ahead and email us. Submit your question to feedback@dotheword.org. For more information on .W Church, visit dotheword.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll look forward to joining you again next week.